Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda.
Podcast host Anthony Kirby is here today to talk to you about chasing your impossible.
Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Anthony Kirby. Anthony is from Australia. He is a corporate coach and a motivational speaker. He's also the podcast host of the show Chase Your Impossible. And he is all about living a life of purpose on purpose. So, Anthony, first, I'd like to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you, Lynette. It's great to be here.
You know, we kick off our show with a quote. Do you want to share
yours
with us?
I will share mine. And it's not a traditional quote, but it's from a gentleman named Brian Long, who runs a mobile advertising agency over in Silicon Valley. And the quote is, "Think from where you want to be, not from where you are."
I like that. Tell us how you connect to that.
I connect to that because when I started my coaching business and the podcast, for me, it was really different and I felt really out of the water in terms of, you know, I was so used to corporate life for 16 years that for me to move away from that office environment with hundreds of people to me sitting in my house at my little office computer, it was a very different mindset for me, and I really had to shift my own mindset. And all of the decisions that you make in corporate life are very big, and they're derived in a group setting. So when I was making decisions for my own business, I really had to learn to think of where I wanted to be and think from where I was going rather than where I was currently, because, you know, in my head I was still this small startup business. And I need to think big and global, because the message that I have is a global message. And if I allow myself to think small, it's not going to reach the global audience that it deserves to.
The thing is that your global message is your passion.
Exactly right.
And tell everybody in a little more detail than I gave already.
Yeah, absolutely. Essentially what happened, I worked in corporate life, as I said, for 16 years. And it got to a stage, I went through a divorce, which is really messy. And people can read all about that on my website if they choose to. I'm not going to share it all right here. And I then remarried, and I had a little boy. And when I looked at my little boy when he was born, he changed my – I'm going to say he changed my soul. Now, I know that sounds really deep, because everybody says that when they have a child, you know, you change, you see the child being born, and it changes who you are because you feel a love that you've never felt before. But this felt deeper for me. And what it really did for me, it made me look at my life and look at the fact that I give up so much of my time driving to a place, sitting in a cubicle essentially, and getting back in a car and driving back and missing out on the amazing things in life. And so I decided to change it, because that feeling that I had every Monday grew, and it got stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. And I was making over $300,000, Australian dollars, per annum, and I walked away from all of it, because the money didn't become the deciding factor for me anymore. The happiness of myself and the happiness of my family became the deciding factor. And that's where that whole concept of living a life of purpose eventuated from.
That's pretty powerful. I mean, you know, similar to you, I also walked away from my career to do this. I was a high school English teacher. So I recently, last spring, made a similar leap. And it is unique to be working from home. And what I love about it is all of the time and effort and energy that I put into my job is for my business. And I appreciate it more than anybody else did when I put all my time and effort and energy into their business, or, you know, let's say even as being a teacher, you know?
Yeah, it's still a business. And I think, you know, when you recognize that in yourself, as you have and as I have and as we teach others, it's such a powerful shift in life. And you know what? We've only got one life. My father sadly passed away when I was 19, and he was only 47 when he passed away. And he would have never imagined that he would have passed away so quickly at such a young age. And he left so much undone. And I think that was really another big driving factor when I saw my son being born. I didn't want my son to go through his life thinking that he had to conform to what society expected of him. And I want to show him that anything's possible. And that's hence the Chaser Impossible title on my show, you know, because if you believe in something badly enough and you want it enough, there's no reason you can't have it. You just got to keep taking steps towards it. And the universe is a really strange and wonderful thing. And I don't know how into the universe you are personally, Lynette, or for your listeners. I don't really get too involved in the whole quantum field and all that sort of mumbo jumbo stuff, but I do believe deeply that if you are grateful for what you have and you have a strong enough belief in where you want to go, then things just conspire to make it happen for you.
Well, you can listen to one of my Friday episodes that's titled Speak the Language of the Universe. If that gives you any idea.
What a great segue that was.
Yes. I mean, if that gives you any idea about where I stand, I talk about it all the time.
There you go.
I'm a firm believer because, I mean, majority of us do believe that there is a higher God of some kind. That's the universe to me. You know,
and that takes a different form for every person. You know,
exactly.
Some people have religion and some people have spirituality, and you know, that's fine, whatever it is for you.
Exactly. So you and I are totally on the same page. Now, the thing is, you started doing a weekly Facebook video that moved to YouTube.
Yes.
And what's the name of that?
It's called Move Your Ass Monday.
Oh, which love is, it.
Yeah, which is all about, because look, let's be honest. I'm sure you know, and I certainly know that a vast majority of the population of America and Australia and any country in the world would wake up on Monday morning and begrudgingly drag their ass out of bed. And they would get into a car and drive to work. And here's the irony. Most people drive to work on Monday listening to motivational podcasts just like this or watching Tony Robbins or Les Brown or Brendan Burchard on YouTube, getting all pumped up and motivated to go and sit in their cubicle and give up their most precious resource for the week and get pissed off with the world again so that on Friday they can go home and love the fact that it's the weekend. And that's why I call it Move Your Ass Monday, because it's all about saying, you know what, just because it's Monday doesn't mean you have to hate on life. You don't have to begrudge the world because it's a day that starts with mun. It's your choice whether you accept where you want to go in life. And the day of the week should not dictate how you feel about that.
And you know what? That's one of the things I really liked about your podcast is that you just tell it like it is. And it's probably considered rated R because I know I definitely heard the F word in there.
Yes. But I do get quite passionate.
Yeah, you're passionate and you have an edge. And you know what? That's your style and it works, especially, you know, some people really need that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I always believe in coming from a really authentic place. And so if that means that I, you know, occasionally slip out a word that's not loved by everybody, then that's how it is, because sometimes people need to hear that.
Well, and I think that you're going to build an audience base that respects that.
That's great. That's certainly the hope.
Now, you left a great job.
I did leave an awesome job, actually. It was a very good job, and there's no reason for me to leave it.
And so what kind of hesitations or challenges did you have doing that?
Cash flow. It's probably the same as everyone has. Everyone has this fear of not being able to make enough money or let me put it another way, to have enough confidence in the fact that I was good enough to do what I'm doing now, which I'm sure is shared by many people who want to take that leap. But there comes a point where you have to, again, as I said earlier, you have to stop thinking of the money and think, well, what is the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario for me, I was very skilled at what I did. I was very respected in that industry. I could have easily gone back and I still could easily go back into that industry and still make six figures. So the money didn't become the problem then. Once you objectively look at that and say, well, you know what? I've got enough to survive for 12 months without anything happening in the business. And then you attribute some pleasure to that. So then I looked at the fact that my little boy was 6 months old at the time. And I said, worst case scenario, 12 months from now, I've seen 12 months of his growth. I've seen his teeth come through. I've heard his first words. I've seen him crawl. And I've seen all of those things since I've left corporate life. Yep. And that can't, you can't put a price on that.
Right. That's beautiful. And that's what I always tell my listeners too. Can you take a year or two away from what you're doing now to try something new, to try what you believe your passion is and give yourself a shot? Because what's the worst thing? I mean, I have a friend who's a vice president of a bank. And that's what I said. You know, can you give yourself a year or two, give what you're talking about a shot, and voila. She did.
And see what happens.
Yeah, she did. So we'll see what happens. But she's very excited about it. What do you think you've learned about yourself, though, in this process?
I've learned that I'm very passionate and I've got a lot of drive and I've got a ridiculous amount of willpower. And I actually, to take that one step further, how I've learned and how I've developed that willpower and that strength of mind, for want of another term, every morning, I wake up at 4 o'clock every morning. And the first thing that I do is get into a cold shower, regardless of what the temperature is doing outside. And my wife thinks I'm absolutely crazy for doing this. But what it does for me, it really just signals to my subconscious mind to say, you know what? I'm demanding performance from you today. And I know where you think the comfort zone is, but I've just stretched it for you straight away. It's the first activity. And it makes such a difference to my morning because I get out of bed and already I'm in what I would call position of power. Tony Robbins might call it peak state. Which is, you know, I feel alive straight away.
Right.
At 4:05 in the morning, I am absolutely in the zone straight away, bang on, big energy, ready to go. And the sun's not even up yet. And another saying, I say this to clients all the time, is if the sun's not chasing you, you're doing it wrong. You're not passionate enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're waking up and the sun's already up, you've wasted too much time.
I have to tell you something. I launched August 1st.
Yeah.
And for August, well, before that, obviously, let's say the very end of June, the entire month of July, except we went away for 10 days. And then we launched up until maybe a month ago. I was doing that. I was working at that level. I was working anywhere from 10 to 16 hours a day. Okay.
The big days.
Big days. Majority of the days out of the week. And every day I was doing something. I mean, you know, that I was working like that for almost 7 days a week for a good period of time. Then I started saying, okay, on Saturdays, I'm going to just do some work Saturday morning briefly. And then the rest of the day is mine. And then I'll go back to work, you know, on Sunday. And,
yep.
And I was trying to control my life so much, just like you're saying. And it definitely worked for me for the first few months. And then all of a sudden, I just got to a point and I started doing, I mean, talk about communicating with the universe, but I started doing the Deepak Chopra and Oprah meditation challenge.
Yes.
This brought me the most amazing clarity, Anthony. It manifested for me, which was the goal of the meditation. It manifested for me this 50-state tour that I'm taking my show on the road to do in the United States.
Wow.
I mean, wow. And I had such clarity and I came up with such great ideas and acted on every single one. But one of the things I realized that I had to do in the process was I was so busy controlling everything and pushing myself that one of the things I needed to do was really surrender, was to give up control. So if you find yourself at some point saying, okay, like emotionally, I need something else, I would say try meditation or even take a day where you just give yourself that, you know, it can't hurt here and there, but it's hard when you first start, especially when, you know, I had the same pressures too. You know, I walked away from a very solid job. I wasn't making six figures though, but I had a solid income as a teacher. So, you know, you worry about these things and you want to be successful. You want to be right that you're making the right choice, that you are good enough to do this, that you can make it happen, that you can do anything. But you know,
that's right.
The reality is you can.
And you have to understand where your strengths and weaknesses are in any business.
Right. That's the next thing that comes, I think, is delegating, which is hard too. Outsourcing.
Very, very difficult. Outsourcing.
Yeah. Right. Like even though I found somebody for a very reasonable price to even just edit my podcasts, I have been holding back because I feel like I'm going to want to go over and edit them again anyway, which I have to back away from that.
Yeah, you got to relinquish the control of being perfect.
Yes, that is true.
I think, and the other part of my morning routine, as you just touched on, funnily, I do meditate every morning.
Oh, that's
after
good.
After that shower, because I think it's really important. I actually do a gratitude meditation, which may be similar to the meditation you're referring to, the Deepak Chopra one, which I'll have to check out. But it's really important for me to start off my day once I'm in that real positive peak state to say, well, what am I grateful for? Because I think if you understand what you're grateful for, you can never come at life. You can't be grateful and sad at the same time. You can't be grateful and lacking confidence at the same time. You can only be one or the other. So I choose to be grateful because everything else stems from that. And regardless of how your day unfolds then, even if you relinquish control of some things and take control of other situations to make things happen, even if things fall in a heap for you, if you're still grateful for the fact that you're healthy and you get to live one day and breathe, that's always a great thing, I think. And, you know, your children are healthy and your wife's healthy and you've got a roof over your head and some food on the table. There's so many people around the world who don't have any of that.
I just shared a video in my private group, which I'd like to extend an invitation for you so listeners can reach out to you through our private group as well. I just shared a video of Deepak Chopra, and he is talking about how gratitude physically heals people. How it's so.
Yes, I did see that video. That's a great video, and it's such a simple concept.
Right. And there are all different types of gratitude journals, but he said, even if you just write, I am grateful for, and list 10 things at the end of your day. Mm. He said, if you just do that and go to sleep that way, he said, that will physically change you.
I don't think globally there's enough awareness around the impact and the powerful nature of those small actions.
You know what? I've had a lot of conversation about that lately. And I said to my husband, I said, you know, is it me? Am I just finally in a place where I can see what all of this is and what all of it means? Because I said, everybody's been talking about this for a long period of time, but I just wasn't in a place, whether it's maturity or circumstance, mm-hmm. when the student is ready, the teacher appears. I just wasn't in a place where I could see and understand, but it's nothing new. And I say that a lot here too, that it is nothing new. This has been going on since Socrates and Aristotle and before that, you know, so for me, it's new. And I thought the same thing. Are they just not putting it out enough? But how could they put it out anymore? Look at Anthony Robbins.
Look, it's everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, they couldn't do much more if they tried, really.
Right. And I just think that we need to be in a place in our lives to be able to understand and accept it.
And ready to receive it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, Lynette, but I've certainly seen in the last 6 months, there seems to be almost a shift, especially if you look at social media. There's a real shift in the perceptions of people. And I think people are slowly cluing on to the power of the mind and the power of meditation and the power of positivity and the power of action, more importantly, because there seems to be so many people who are posting about it and sharing great content and really good humanitarian content, socially correct content.
I have thought the same thing, and I'm curious, is it because, let's say, along with myself, other people that they know are bringing those things to them. And so then that is starting to, is it just my friends on Facebook? Is it everybody? Is it just your friends on Facebook? Do you see what I mean?
I do, yes. And obviously, you know, as you work in a circle, obviously you attract similar minds. And so you connect to certain people on Facebook and social media. And so perhaps that is the case where it's the people that we are connected with who are sharing the same messages. But even if you look a little bit further afield, there's a lot of people who come to me and ask questions and say, well, what does it mean to do what you do? And, you know, they're a little bit curious almost.
Now, your show title is Chase Your Impossible. So I would like to know in detail, what exactly is your impossible? What are you chasing?
My impossible? I want to be recognized as a global thought leader in encouraging others and showing others the path to chase a life of purpose. It's pretty simple. I say it's pretty simple. It's a massive goal. But for example, in 2016, I want to impact 5,000 lives personally.
But the thing is, Anthony, it's ceilingless. The opportunities and the avenues that you can take to do that. And you know that since you started with Facebook video, then YouTube video, now podcast. You're seeing how these opportunities are ceilingless. So if somebody wants to do what you're doing, if they want to put themselves out into the world and become a speaker and become a podcast host and do videos and get out of corporate, is there a book that has been meaningful to you that you could share?
I think number one, and probably everyone recommends this book because it's an old classic, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Right.
It is just one of those texts that you read. And this is the thing, you know, a lot of people read it and they read it straight through and they say, oh, it was rubbish. But if you read it and take each lesson at a time or take a page at a time and just highlight a few key words or underline a few key words and then just dwell on it and think, well, what does that mean for me and how does it apply in my life now and how could it apply in my life? It is such a powerful book. And there's a reason that it's always on the bestseller list, and there's a reason that every self-help expert in the world references that book. It is just a classic.
Sometimes we need to just slow down a little bit. You know, read it slowly. And like you said,
don't try and get through it.
Right. Ask yourself how this can apply to you.
Mm. It's very true.
Okay. So here's the deal. I believe that for people to act, there are three steps to motivation. First, we need to envision it for ourselves. So we just sit in it in our minds for a minute. Mm. And that could take, I'm not saying just a minute. This could take years, really, depending. Then we explore our options and then we act. So if somebody wants to live a lifestyle like you're doing, if they want to chase their impossible, what do they need to see for themselves or envision?
I would say that they have to really have a clear and compelling vision of what the result would look like for them in order to, firstly, walk away from corporate, if that is their current situation, or walk away from whatever it is they're walking away from. And that could even be a relationship, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because for some people, they might just feel stuck in a relationship. They've been in a marriage for 20 years and they've got kids, but they're deeply unhappy. And there's nothing wrong with leaving that relationship if it doesn't serve a purpose, as long as you're doing it for the right reasons. And so I don't think it necessarily always applies to corporate. I think it can apply to many areas of life. But I feel the first thing that you have to do is have that clear, compelling vision and understand that the roadblocks that you place in your mind don't necessarily have to stop you. But if you are aware of the roadblock, you can then break that roadblock down. And I'll give you a great example of this. I have a client at the moment who lives in New Zealand, and I had a Skype call with her last night. Now, she wants to move away from her corporate role. And in order to do so, she has to build her secondary business to a certain level. And once we broke it down and essentially reverse engineered her exit from corporate life, she just looked at me and went, wow, because it was a lot simpler than she had placed in her mind. The belief that she had was that it was going to be really difficult to get there. And when we broke it all down and said, well, really, this is where your next business has to be in order for you to leave the current business, it was so simple that we can, you know, probably work towards it within 3 months.
I had a similar experience. And, you know, something else that I'm envisioning as you're talking is all those great images that you gave us about your son when he was born and that you've been there to see him break his teeth and do all these great things and that you've been able to spend these months with him.
Mm. Okay. It's amazing. I mean, I couldn't, and every morning, you know, when I do my gratitude meditation, that's one of the things that I always come back to is seeing him being born, being at his birth and being present to hear his first cry and to look at him.
And not for anything, Anthony. Sometimes people miss that because they're working.
Exactly, which is unbelievable.
Right, yeah. So, okay, to explore, how can people research or where would they need to reach out in order to start doing what you're doing?
I think we're very lucky, Lynette, that we live in a world which is surrounded by social media because social media is such a strong platform to grow. There are so many people. I mean, as you know, and as I know, there's mastermind groups, there's podcast groups, there's a myriad of ways that you can get in front of people who are already walking that path. Podcasts, videos, you can connect to the individuals involved with those things. I mean, that's the beauty of what the world that we live in. And that would be the first bit of advice I would give is just search out the people who are living that life that you aspire to. And the other thing I would say is, don't be scared to reach out to people because you'd be surprised how approachable. And generally what I've found is that the higher in the tree, so to speak, that a person is, the easier they are to approach. Because they understand that they got there by doing the same thing and they're happy to pay that forward. So don't play small.
And probably because they're the least approached. People are
exactly right.
Yeah.
People are so scared to approach them that they don't approach them. And they're probably sitting there saying, I've got all this knowledge, and you know, they're coming to the end of their working life, or they're coming to the end of their development, and they've got 30 years of experience, or 20 or 10, whatever it might be. But in any event, they've got more experience than you do. So go and leverage that experience. Stand on their shoulders.
So to execute a plan then, what do you think the first baby step would be?
Take action. So for example, again, another great conversation I had last night with the client in the UK. He has an idea to launch a microbrewery with craft beers and craft ales. And he said, it's such a big goal. It seems so far away. And I said, well, have you got a business name? And he said, yes. And I said, well, go and get your Twitter handle and your Facebook page and just keep it private, but just get it, just so you've made some progress. Now, that's a really small step. But he got very excited about that because he said, okay. So then it becomes more tangible, because then he looks at the page and then he starts to think more about, what do I want my business to talk about? What do I want the brand to say? And then you start to step towards it again. And you break it down into really, really small steps. And you, before you know it, you'll be sprinting towards it.
Right, because to me, he's envisioning it.
Correct.
And you know, he's mapping his brain to achieve all of these things that he's envisioning.
That's right. And so then he's exploring it.
Yep, exactly. And then he gets all these great ideas and he says, well, I wonder what I need to do in order to do this. And he starts to explore further.
That's right.
That's how I
feel. The biggest thing that I would also say, and I say this so often on my podcast and I say it so often on other shows that I'm on, get to the stage where you take action. Because you know what? You're always going to find an excuse. I'm sure I could have found an excuse. I'm sure, Lynette, you could have found an excuse to stay where you were and be comfortable.
Well, and but I think the biggest one is that you think you're not good enough. Like you just
exactly said. Right. And I had the same thing, and I'm sure you did, and I'm sure everyone does. But have some confidence in yourself. Have some faith in that passion you have, because the reason you feel the way you feel is because that's coming from – it's not coming from your mind, because your mind's going to tell you all the reasons you can't do it. It's coming from your soul. It's coming from your spirit. Your spirit's talking to you and saying, go after it. So listen to that for once and take some action.
Take action. I'm all about action. So what kind of closing advice can you give everybody?
Just get started. It's the simplest of advice, but it's often the hardest. Just do something. You know, don't sit down and try and map out the plan forever. You know, don't wait for the time to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. Don't wait until you've got all the money in the bank. Just wait until you've got enough to get going. And just the other key advice I would give you, look at your circle of influence. You might have people in your life who are holding you back or telling you that you're not going to be good enough or belittling your ideas. I'm not saying you've got to walk away completely from those people, although I did in a lot of those cases. But you might just want to spend less time with them. You might not want to communicate with them as much on social media. You might want to just start to get in front of better quality people.
And you know what, too? You do need to be able to take feedback and be strong enough in your conviction, because let's say my daughter and her boyfriend, and they're in their 20s. That's how I even found out about podcasts, is because they listen. And they've been extremely supportive, don't get me wrong. But in the beginning, when I was forming my show and, you know, narrowing my niche and coming up with a format to my show, you know, they were at first like, and it was very hard for me to move past that, knowing that really they were kind of the experts in podcasting and I really knew very little. And yet I'm saying, no, I can do this. But yet I didn't know half of what I was doing yet. And I was feeling my way. It was difficult. So all I ended up doing in that scenario, and the reason why I'm sharing this, is listeners, if this happens to you and you have an idea and you want to, and I have to say, Anthony and I have a lot of similarities in what our shows do. Anthony is about your life purpose. He is about chasing your impossible. He is about really making a difference in your life and the world and taking leaps. And I am about the same on some levels and other levels. I just want you to incorporate something that's going to make your life more fulfilling. So we are very similar. But what I ended up saying to my daughter was, you know what? maybe you two just aren't my audience, and that's okay. But my audience is going to want this. And I just got the confidence to know that I knew what I was talking about. And I think sometimes, I mean, obviously I would never distance myself or my daughter, but I had to distance that part of our relationship in order for me to act and find some success for her and her boyfriend to say, oh, I get it now.
That is such a good point that you make there, Lynette. You know, it's, and you don't have to distance yourself from the person completely, as you said. It's just that you don't share that aspect with them as much.
And sometimes you do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't ever have to do that. But sometimes you don't. You can just say this, you know, I find myself staying very much to myself when it comes to my business in general with the people in my immediate surroundings. It's funny because other people who are doing things that are similar to me or just chasing their impossible, right? Or acting out passions. Those people, I can have this conversation with more freely. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you don't have to be all things to all people.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you know what? It is okay in your life to be selfish enough to do something that you love, something that makes your life more exciting, more fulfilling, more worthwhile. Because like you said, you know, I am 47. I'm your dad's age. And when you saw your son, Anthony, you wanted to be here longer than that. And you wanted
Absolutely.
To take advantage of every year that you had with him.
It's very true.
That's a driving force. You know,
life is just so precious. And I think unless you have been faced with that, and some people who are listening probably have faced their own mortality. And so if you are one of those people who are listening who has faced your, or if you have faced your own mortality, I would ask the question, what are you doing to live your best life?
Okay, so contact information for you.
Yes, jump onto my website, which is anthonykirby.com. All of my social media links are on there, but if you are on Facebook and you don't like trawling through websites, you can also search Anthony Kirby Chase Your Impossible, and you'll see my page there.
And we'll have you as part of our private group so they can reach out to you as well, and I'll make sure to put your links for your contact information in my show notes. Anthony, it was such a pleasure to meet you. Really great chat with you this afternoon.
Likewise. It's morning here in Australia, but and it's a very rainy morning here in Australia. So hopefully it clears up a little bit so I can get out with the kids today.
And it's
thank you so much for your time, Lynette.
And it's a rainy afternoon in New Jersey as well. So okay, well, listen, this is the end of the show. And at the end of the show, I do offer a go do for my audience, which means we want them to go do this today. So what would you like them to go do right now?
Jump onto my website, anthonykirby.com, click on the 21-day challenge and sign up for the 21-day challenge. It starts on the 2nd of January, so I'm going to give you a day off for New Year's Day to recover from that hangover. And it's 21 days of very short action items to get you established in your goals for 2016 to make sure you make 2016 your best year ever.
That's awesome. I dig it. And that's the end of the show. Listen, everybody, remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.